A new paper reveals one factor contributing to the gender pay gap: college majors.
Turns out that for a long time and continuing, men and women kind of go into different majors.
And the number of vaping-related illnesses has risen to over 1,000 cases.
Health officials say that there's no sign that it's slowing down.
Plus, it's Jobs Day. We'll have more on what to expect. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at one thing that's been contributing to the gender pay gap, here's what you missed. Late yesterday, House committees released text messages as part of the impeachment investigation. The messages show that Trump administration officials wanted to use a White House meeting as leverage to get Ukraine's government to investigate Joe Biden. Democrats said the texts were powerful new evidence that President Trump and his administration were willing to use the power of his office to persuade a foreign country to undertake a probe that would be beneficial to his re-election campaign. Republicans said the released text messages were, quote, cherry-picked. And the Centers for Disease Control have said that the total number of vaping-related lung illnesses has now risen to 1,080, with 18 deaths. That's a jump of 275 cases compared to last week. Brianna Abbott has more.
The increase in cases is a combination of both retroactive cases that doctors are going back and finding from before and new cases that are arriving. And health officials say that there's no sign that it's slowing down.
The CDC is recommending that people stay away from vaping altogether while they continue to investigate what's happening. They specifically said to avoid THC-containing products, but they also added there was no one product or substance that has been associated with all of the illnesses. And Attorney General William Barr is asking Facebook to hold off on its plans to add encryption to its messaging services. He's making the request in an open letter that's set to be published today. It's also signed by his British and Australian counterparts. In the letter, he says, quote, companies cannot operate with impunity where the lives and safety of our children is at stake. In an internal town hall meeting yesterday, Mark Zuckerberg admitted that the encryption poses challenges to law enforcement, but he thought the benefits of strengthening privacy outweighed the drawbacks. Now, our main story this morning. It's a study looking at the wage gap between men and women. According to a new paper by Carolyn Sloan of the University of California, Riverside, and Eric Hurst and Dan Black of the University of Chicago, part of the gap can be explained by the types of majors chosen by men and women. Charlie Turner has been finding out more from David Harrison.
David, you report that over the past six decades, women have enrolled in college in increasing numbers, and they're now more likely to hold bachelor degrees than men, but they still earn lower wages. Tell us why.
Yeah, so this is a interesting new piece of research here that basically it looks at the choices people make while they're still in school. And it turns out that for a long time and continuing, men and women kind of go into different majors. So, you know, men are more likely to go into majors that are associated with sort of higher earnings, so things like business or finance or engineering. And that, it turns out, kind of is a driver of these wage differences, the difference in potential wages that men and women earn upon graduation. So it's an interesting reminder that, you know, sometimes we look at college graduates as a whole, but within the group of college graduates, there are some significant differences in the sort of potential wages that people can earn.
The researchers who did this report used data from the census, from what I understand. How much less, according to the report, did college-educated women earn than their male counterparts?
Overall, right, when you sort of account for sort of basic demographic factors like age and that kind of thing, they're about 23% less overall. But then, so once you sort of take into account what we were just talking about, first the major choices, their majors, and sort of the profession they go into after they graduate. So, because a big part of this too is that, you know, you could have, you know, men and women both major in engineering, say, but, you know, the man goes into a profession that makes a lot of money and the woman goes into a profession that makes less money. That's another sort of finding that they had. So once you take into account the occupations people go into and the majors, and you control for that, so you sort of have people with the same major and the same occupation, then women make about 11% less. So from that original 23% gap, it's down to 11%. So it seems as though roughly half of the overall gap in wages is due to these differences in majors and occupations.
Why is it still unclear the reason that women have ended up in college majors that lead to lower paying jobs?
Well, right. That's kind of the big question here. One thing the study does note is that over the years, there has been some convergence. So, you know, you are seeing more and more women go into these majors that are traditionally very high, you know, higher paying, and traditionally have had more men than women in them. So there is like a shift underway. It's pretty slow, but there is a sort of shift. And to your question, they don't really get into that here. I think that's more a topic for future research. There's, you know, maybe there are societal expectations, maybe there, and I'm just speculating here. Perhaps there are things that play into people's college choices that aren't necessarily connected to your career outcomes. There may be expectations for you to major in certain things based on demographic characteristics, like, you know, whether you're a man or a woman. That could have something to do with it. And that's, I think, something for, you know, that these researchers are going to want to take a look at in the future.
You can find David's full report and a link to the study up on WSJ.com. On to markets. This week's market turmoil has been a rough start to the fourth quarter. That's interesting because this is usually the most wonderful time of the year for the stock market. It's when consumers spend the most, companies sell the most, and the economy usually grows the most. So what's going on? Alex Frangos has more.
It's true. The stock market usually goes up in the fourth quarter. Dow Jones Industrial Average usually goes up almost 3%. That's over the many years that, you know, we've been keeping records about this. But it doesn't happen all the time. And of course, last year, we had a huge swoon in the fourth quarter where stocks fell almost 20%. And this year, storm clouds are gathering. There's, you know, expectations of weaker growth. The Wall Street Journal survey of economists predict 1.8% GDP growth in the fourth quarter, which is a slowdown. We have geopolitical risks with trade tensions, with the impeachment, with Hong Kong protests, all sorts of things going on. And you see investors, you know, sort of battening down the hatches. Stocks are selling off. They're rotating into safer stocks away from growth stocks. They're really piling into government bonds again. So you don't know how it's going to end up in the fourth quarter, but so far it's not been great.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. It's the first Friday of the month, in case you forgot, which of course means it's Jobs Day. Investors will be closely paying attention to the pace of hiring in September, looking for any signs that the U.S. economic expansion is cooling. One key area of focus this time around, wages. Sarah Cheney says it's weekly earnings that are worth paying attention to.
What we should really be looking at is growth in average weekly earnings, which haven't fared quite as well. And that's because the average number of hours worked in a week has been trending downward over the past year. And that has impacted average weekly earnings. And really, because employers tend to cut hours before they lay off workers, weakness in hours offers another sign the U.S. labor market is cooling.
We'll have the latest figures and an analysis of what they mean in our afternoon edition. And Amazon and Disney are clashing. It all has to do with the terms Amazon wants Disney to accept in order to put its new Disney Plus streaming service on Amazon's Fire TV. We're reporting that Amazon wants the right to sell a substantial percentage of the ad space on Disney apps. But that's something that Disney doesn't want. The stakes are pretty high. Disney already has a number of apps on Fire TV for ESPN, ABC, and the Disney Channel. And the Fire TV is the second largest distributor of streaming TV apps. Amazon and Disney both declined to comment. Finally, if you haven't returned some overdue library books because you didn't want to pay the fines, well, now's the time to do so. That's because libraries have come to realize what a lot of us guilty readers already knew, namely that late fees encourage some of us to keep our overdue books rather than face the humiliating tisk-tisk of librarians collecting those late fees. This week, Chicago became the largest American city to end charges for overdue books. It joined at least 150 library systems in the U.S. and Canada that have ended late-shaming fines. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.